Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. Glad to have you join us this Saturday. It's our first Saturday of the year. That must mean it's time to start talking taxes because Marcella Norell with H&R Block is here to join us. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Y'all are already
up and running.
We are up and running. And, you know, it's been an eventful year so far. So IRS started their electronic filing Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So
yesterday. We got going.
We're e-filing tax returns. They started doing some acknowledgments last week, and it's been pretty seamless so far.
A great thing to do if we get some snow next week, you can log on to hrblock.com. You can select a virtual appointment, and you could knock out your taxes while everyone enjoys a snow day, right?
Almost not guaranteed. My employees were worrying this morning about what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we need to start for next week in case I can't get here? And I said, if it snows as much as they say it's going to snow, none of us are going to be here because we're going to be closed.
You'll find us sledding down the hill behind KTLO, just FYI.
Okay.
I'll have a whole troop of neighborhood boys that have joined us at KTLO for that.
Oh, won't those kids have fun if that's the case?
I hope so. We may not go back to school for a while, it looks like. But hey, it's time to start talking taxes. E-filing started yesterday. Tax day so far is scheduled for its normal April 15th, and that's on a Thursday this year.
Yes.
Your crystal ball, is it telling you anything? Are we going to have it on the proper date this year?
My crystal ball tells me that there's a good chance that they will extend it, but my crystal ball gets muddy sometimes and it gets cloudy sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we can't really say for sure yet because they haven't done it. If they do it, then that would be great. I hope they do it, but, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. So with e-filing not starting until February 12th this year, that really kind of puts the pressure to have everything done by April 15th.
That's about 3 weeks late, right?
That's about 3 weeks late. Normally, it starts about January 21st, January 27th. I remember one year it started. That was when there was some tax bills that were actually passed, I think, January 1st or 2nd.
Yeah, the good old days.
The good old days.
Easy problems back then.
Yeah. So it's later than I can ever remember it being. Mm-hmm. And there is a reason it's this late. It's not just IRS. There was a tax bill or a stimulus bill that was passed December 29th, 27th, 29th, mm-hmm. 29th, I believe. And that resulted in everybody getting these checks in January for $600 apiece. And stimulus payments are non-taxable. Okay, that's the number one question I get.
Let's repeat that.
Stimulus payments are non-taxable.
All right.
However,
always a catch with you.
There is a credit on your tax return if you did not get the stimulus payment. There's a credit that is refundable this year on the 2020 tax return, mm-hmm. and that refundable credit is a reconciliation of what you should have got as a stimulus payment versus what you actually received. So if you're like most Americans and you were supposed to get $1,200 on the first one and mm-hmm. $600 on the second one, and you got your $1,800, then there is nothing that affects your tax return. But if you were supposed to get $1,200 and you only got $600, then now we have a $600 refundable credit.
How are you supposed to know that?
Remember the letter that was sent with the first stimulus payment? People received a letter that was signed by Donald Trump.
Yeah, it was signed by the president.
It was signed by the president. That letter actually has a form number. It's called 1444. Mm-hmm. When we started tax season this year and I asked people if they'd received any form in the mail lately to do with the stimulus payment, telling them how much they received, everybody looked at me and said, no, I hadn't received that. And I said, well, you'll get it later. Mm-hmm. It'll come later, but it's okay as long as we know how much your stimulus payment was. Well, finally, somebody brought me the letter and I looked at it and it said form 1444. And I went, bingo, that's mm-hmm. the form that they got.
Did everyone get that?
I don't think so. I know I got one with the first one. I didn't get anything with the second one. So I haven't had anybody.
A lot of people just woke up and it was in their bank account on the second one.
That's exactly right. It's, you know, they had all that information left over from the first one, so it just magically appeared. And it magically appeared pretty quickly after the president signed the bill. So it was pretty amazing how fast they got it out. But there are still people who have not received it yet. I had one just yesterday or the day before that said no, they hadn't got that second payment. So we're going to look up it to see if it has, if IRS is showing that it has been paid.
Is there a 1-800 number for the IRS that you can call, or do you have to can you submit anything online? I mean, if you have questions about the stimulus, what do?
You have to go online and set up an account. And set up a secure account. Now, you know, way back in the, I think when one of the Bush was president, younger Bush, yes, there was a stimulus payment then. And it was, we could actually go online and put in your Social Security number and other bits and pieces of information that were secure. And you, it would tell you how much you received. This one, you go in and you put your Social Security number, date of birth, your address, and all it tells you is whether or not you received one, not how much it was.
I have a great idea. Let's combine that one with signing up for a COVID-19 vaccine, and then we can get stimulus questions answered and register for a vaccine.
All at once.
All at once.
And that line will be so busy, nobody will be able to get through.
That stimulus with George W., was that after 9/11? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Huh.
You know, my years all run together into tax seasons, and I really cannot remember.
Oh, well, that's a good Google question that we'll have to go to the phones for
break. I would guess it was earlier, because wasn't 9/11 in his first year?
It was right after he started his second term.
Was it second term?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then it would have been the first term, I think, because it was, he had just been elected president when they did that, I think.
I'll have to ask Bob. He's our presidential historian of the group. He'll know the answer to that.
I'd have to ask my daughter, because she's my go-to.
We'll do that while we take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting with Marcella Norell of H&R Block. I obviously need to study up on some of my history. I was way off. It was Bush's second term, and the stimulus that we received was during 08, the housing crisis. We should have known that.
Well, we should, but we don't remember things real well. I'm sorry, Heather.
We have a lot of things we're trying to remember. I'm trying to make myself feel better here.
I'm going to make us all feel better, because, you know, everybody this last year has put us in a different mode, and I think everybody's memories are, you know, things kind of blend together after a while. And we stay so busy that it all just becomes almost robot motions.
Absolutely.
And you don't remember as well.
No, you don't. You don't. So, you just have too much and too many, and it's too fast and all those good things.
Yes. But, hey, it's not age related.
No.
Okay.
No, ma'am. Absolutely not. I would never say that. We're glad to have you back in the studio. We're glad to know that you're taking appointments now at H&R Block at all your different locations throughout Mountain Home and in Flippin for everyone to prepare their taxes. You should have most of your forms now. If you're still waiting on anything, it's probably corporate paperwork and K-1s and your brokers, and that's about the only thing that's left out there, right?
Yes, most W-2s should be out by now, so you should have your W-2s. Typically, on a year, if you do not get your W-2, you cannot file a tax return until February 15th if you did not receive your W-2. If you haven't got it by February 15th, we can file a substitute W-2 based on your last check stub, something like that. Ironically, this year, since IRS was not accepting tax returns electronically until February 12th, that's really not that big a wait for you.
Right.
Because come Monday, you'll be able to go ahead and even if you haven't got your W-2, you will be able to go ahead and file and fill out a substitute W-2.
What do you do if you haven't received your W-2? I mean, you go back to the employer?
That should be the first thing you do. Because chances are, if it's a former employer especially, do they have your correct address? Mm. You need to make sure they have your correct address. You've updated that. If it's been lost in the mail, if they tell you they have mailed it and you haven't got it yet, you know, you might pursue trying to get a duplicate issued if they will reprint it. A lot of W-2s, especially the bigger employers, will put W-2s online. So if you have an intranet account that through your employer that you can get on and print a W-2, then you can do that. So there are different ways to do it. But if all else fails, we can do the substitute W-2s. You know, we're seeing the bank interest has come out. Most of the banks have issued their 1099 interest for those. Non-employee comp, if you are a comp subcontractor, those should be out by now. Dividends statements are starting to come out. Really, what we're waiting on now is the broker statements and then K-1s, like you said, if we, you know, those don't typically come out until the first or second week of March. Mm-hmm. So we still have some things that are not out yet.
Paperwork that people might receive this year that they're unaccustomed to is it the 1099-G? Is that what
yes.
you called it? And that's unemployment. So many people received unemployment for the first time this year, and you both your regular unemployment and your pandemic unemployment, and that is taxable.
That is taxable. Unemployment by law is taxable. So IRS came out when all this pandemic unemployment started and said unemployment will be taxable. And it would have taken an act of Congress and the president to make it non-taxable, which they did not do. So you should receive a 1099-G from if you live in Arkansas, from the state of Arkansas Unemployment Division that shows the total that you received for unemployment from both the pandemic and the state regular unemployment. It will be combined into one figure on that 1099-G. When you signed up for it, you had the option of signing up for withholding, where they would withhold federal income tax at the rate of 10%. That may not be enough to cover your tax on your unemployment, but that it at least will be some withholding. Now, the state of Arkansas does not withhold state income tax on your unemployment. So there's a really good chance, if you drew very much unemployment, that you may wind up owing the state of Arkansas. So,
have they talked about making any changes in the legislature towards that? I mean, or is this just going to be an anomaly where you had so many people on unemployment this year?
You mean on the state?
From the state level. Yeah, has our state legislature level? Talked about that?
I don't know that they've talked about it. I wish they would. I do think that's something they need
much
to address.
Cleaner. Yeah.
You know, Arkansas actually just started taxing unemployment, I think, 2 years ago. Maybe 2018 returns were the first ones that we saw that they had changed the law that unemployment was taxable. So I just don't think they've carried it far enough to think about the fact that they need some state withholding on that. And hopefully this whole pandemic unemployment insurance that people mm-hmm. received, they will think about it now, because that's going to be a hardship on people.
Another important thing for employers and for individuals, with the Family Cares Act, for an employer, if you had employees that you paid while they were either out sick with COVID-19 or quarantined, you are eligible for a credit on your quarterly reports.
That's correct. That's under the Family Medical Leave.
Oh, sorry.
It was part of the CARES
okay,
Act that
CARES.
Extended the Family Medical Leave, I think. But it was the Family Medical Leave is what it's covered under. And it is a refundable credit mm-hmm. on your 941
payroll.
Directly against your payroll tax. Mm-hmm. So, but now that was for employers.
Mm-hmm.
For self-employed people, there is going to be a credit on your tax return now that equates that if you had to be off out of your business because you had COVID or you had a family member that had COVID or had the same things happen to you that employees had.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a credit that is going to be refundable, potentially refundable on your tax return that will be equal to those 80 hours that employers had to provide to their employees. And there's a formula for it. So you have to go back to your tax return and calculate mm-hmm. how much you're eligible for.
One other thing, PPP. From the federal government, the Payroll Protection Program, and then the state assistance. Arkansas Economic Development Commission had different grants and Ready to Work and all kinds of different assistance. That is taxable.
That the The grants are not taxable. The PPP that is forgiven is not taxable. Mm-hmm. So both of those things, now the state needs to rule on it. The federal ruled that the PPP is not taxable. Mm-hmm. And at first, IRS said that you could not deduct the expenses, which kind of was contrary to what everybody said when they said it wasn't mm-hmm. taxable. Because in essence, when you couldn't deduct the expenses, you used the PPP to pay. That made it taxable. But IRS came out and said in the summer that because the expenses were paid with non-taxable income, then you could not deduct them, which is a law. That is the way it is. But laws can be changed through an act of Congress and the president. So they did change that law. And just, I think, was it 2 months ago, maybe, about November, they came out and said, okay, we are going to make it to where you can deduct those expenses. So the expenses that are paid with the non-taxable PPP are deductible. The state grants that the state has given, the state has not done anything yet about saying whether or not those will be taxable, non-taxable. You know, everybody thinks, people forget that there's federal laws and state laws. And the state of Arkansas really kind of makes their own laws when it comes to their tax return. All states do. A lot of states elect to follow the federal law. And that's been a big thing all year that we've been hearing, because when they came out and said the PPP was not going to be taxable, it's like a lot of states jumped on board right then and they said, okay, we're going to follow federal law on this. Whatever happens at the federal level, that's what we're going to do. Arkansas has not done that yet. Arkansas legislators need to get together. They need to decide on the state level, what are we going to do? How are we going to account for these changes in tax returns? Is the PPP expenses going to be deductible on the Arkansas return? Because right now there really is no clarifications on what the state of Arkansas is going to do.
You know, if there was ever a year that you were thankful that you played by the rules, I filed my taxes, I have everything in order, I have my tax team at H&R Block, I mean, whatever it is, you could navigate 2020 a lot easier. You got your stimulus. Mm-hmm. If you'd filed your tax return, you received your stimulus. If you had your payroll taxes in order, you could qualify for PPP.
Yes. It was a real good indication of 2020 was excellent for pointing out how important it is to have teams of people on your side. And having a team that helps you with your tax return, with your bookkeeping if you're self-employed, all of those made things so much easier for people when they went to apply for the PPP loan, when you had questions about the stimulus, when you had questions about the unemployment. You know, I am so fortunate that I am in a business that is a necessity. Mm-hmm. Taxes are never going to go away. Remember, mm-hmm. death and taxes, they're always going to be here. And we had one of the biggest years we've ever had mm-hmm. because of this. People were coming in and filing 3 and 4 years worth of tax returns. We had more people that we filed prior year tax returns for than ever before because they wanted that stimulus money. And that happened, the one we mentioned before, back, you know, when President Bush was there. That happened then, too. They came in and got caught up on their tax returns.
So how many people raced in to get caught up on their tax returns and ended up paying more money into the government than they received in stimulus?
You know, ironically, most people that don't file their tax return have a refund coming. I don't understand it, but they have a refund coming. And if that's the case, then there's no penalties for not filing it. And they just haven't worried about it for a while. Now, there are some that do wind up owing. But most of them that have not filed in 2 or 3 years, they have refunds coming.
Huh. Go figure.
And if you don't file within 3 years of the due date of that return, you lose your refund. You don't get it.
I didn't know
so,
that.
So, yeah, it's you want to make sure.
Breaking news. Breaking news on Local Matters. File your tax return. Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO, visiting once again with Marcella Norell. H&R Block Tax Day is upon us, we think. Thursday, April 15th.
That's we think.
We think. Mm-hmm. We're going to plan for it as if. Plan as if and hope for the best, right?
Yes. We're going to plan as if and hope they extend it.
I'm going to hope they go forward with it. Let's move on, Marcella. Let's be done with 2020. Let's file our taxes and be done with it. One thing that we need to talk about is the charitable contribution. There was a change last year that we need to make sure everyone's aware of.
Yes, even if you could not itemize your deductions, they came out for 2020 with a charitable above-the-line contribution limit that you can deduct. It's $300 of cash contributions that even if you cannot itemize on the federal and you've got at least $300 in cash contributions, you can claim $300. Now, that is per return, not per taxpayer. Mm-hmm. So even...
Is it up to 300 or can you do more?
It's up to 300. Okay. And, you know, it's capped at 300. So it is cash contributions. So if you've donated the clothing to Salvation Army or whatever this year, you do not get to take the 300 for that. But if you have cash contributions, then we can go ahead and take that, even though you don't itemize on the federal. So instead of a $27,400 standard deduction for married filing joint when you're both 65, it's $27,700 that you would get to exclude.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did they make any changes to the child tax credit? I know that the Biden administration had said that they were going to up that number. Is that taking effect yet?
No, they have not done anything about that yet. So it's still the child tax credit is $2,000 per child under age 17. Now, last year we had another credit in all the changes they did that if your child was 17 or over, they qualified for an other dependent credit mm-hmm. of only $500.
Do they have to live with you for that?
Yes, and they have to be your dependent. So mm-hmm. they have to meet the 5 dependency test. Mm-hmm. So, but they have not changed that yet. It's going to be interesting to see what laws we get changed here in the next year or two, but you know it's a fact of life. It happens every year.
Wait and see mode. We're also waiting to see about a required minimum distribution.
Yes,
not a requirement last year. So far, no new information for this year. So we will be asked to take that distribution.
Yes, and in our tax planning right now for our clients that come in and didn't possibly take a required minimum distribution from their pension plan or their 401k, their IRA or whatever in 2020, you know, what we're planning on now is, okay, that you will have to take it, but maybe you need to hold off for a while. Don't, you know, I usually tell people go take it in January. That way it's done. Mm-hmm. If something happens and you forget, you know, you get sick or something, and even if you should pass away, then your heirs don't have to worry about it because it's already been done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tell people typically to take it in January, but this year I'm telling them to wait, mm-hmm. possibly, if they don't want to take it. But, you know, this is a great time to get back to your team again of tax planning. Because even in 2020, when you weren't required to take a minimum distribution, there are lots of instances where people needed to go ahead and take it, in my opinion, because either their tax would have been zero if they hadn't taken it, and there would have been some wasted deductions that they had that could have kept that tax at zero, or the tax would have been very minimal on it. And, you know, IRAs and 401ks are tax-deferred assets. That means that someday somebody is going to pay tax on it. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, the tax rate on your beneficiaries may be higher than the tax rate would be on you mm-hmm. if you took it. So looking very closely and doing some tax planning, you need to do that and move that income that is potentially tax deferred at some point into something that tax has already been paid on. You know, if you're married and it's both of you and you have that $27,400 that you can have in standard deduction without paying any tax, well, when something happens to one of you, that goes down to half of that. So you're only one person then. You may not have as much income because your Social Security's been cut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just better if you have a little bit of extra cash that you can get to without paying tax. So that's where tax planning comes in, I think, and just seeing which is the best thing. But for right now, in 2021, they have not made a determination on the required minimum distribution. You know, I think that required minimum distribution has happened one other time. And both of the times, I mean, even in 2020, it was when the stock market fell so drastically back in March and April when we were going through that. And they wanted to make sure that people didn't run out of money. So that was the mindset behind postponing that required minimum distribution. So hopefully, you know, that won't happen again. And they won't have to consider that. But we just don't know.
Another player on that team, when you're planning all this, is Local Matters, because Marcella's going to come back and join us. We've got a few more visits with you between now and tax time. Mm-hmm. And got any questions, you can always send them in to heather@ktlo.com. And we'd love to grill Marcella on the air with some of your questions. So
sometimes I can answer them, and sometimes I have to really stop and think a minute, like history stuff.
Or sometimes we have to take a commercial break and go to Google.
Yes. Thank goodness for Google.
Hey, we appreciate your time. We'll see you soon.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
Y'all have a good Saturday. And if you need more information on the upcoming weather, always stay tuned to the stations of KTLO Classic Hits in the Boot. Rain or shine or snow or no snow, you know we'll be here. Have a good Saturday. We'll talk to you soon. This is Local Matters on KTLO.